Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt, and I'm your host here again tonight on the Cosmic Connections. This is the January 6th program, and I want to thank everybody for joining us here tonight. It's 9 p.m. here on the East Coast, and that means it's 6 p.m. on the West Coast here in the United States where we are doing the program. And this is the first program of the new year, 2021. So I want to thank everybody for joining us, because I said I always take, you know, a break there for a couple weeks over the holiday season. And oh my gosh, what a crazy time it has been recently, hasn't it? But before I do that, I want to welcome Blanca. How are you doing this fine evening in Atlanta, Georgia? And before you comment, we won't say anything about the crazy election stuff going on in your state, but welcome.
Just another typical Georgia election. Now we're going to, obviously our wonderful government wants us to get used to this type of election, but I think they may have second thoughts about that idea.
This was not a typical Georgia election, especially when you just lost two Republican Senate seats to two Democrats who challenged two Republican incumbents in your state.
Right.
That is not normal.
Exactly. Exactly. So we used our good old dependable Dominion machines and our trusty ballot printing mechanisms, and that's how it works over here, but hopefully not for long.
Yep. So, well, did you have a great holiday season? Did you have a good Christmas?
I did. Very, very nice. And I just want to, I know it seems like it's been a year, but I do want to wish all our listeners a happy new year. And again, to hang tight. We're watching the dissolution of the Matrix. And so we've got to hold a picture of the new, but I'm sure you're going to address some of that and maybe have some good news too.
Well, I really enjoyed the comment that you said about the decimation of the Matrix. And I totally agree with that. Before we can welcome in what is called a new higher consciousness world, higher awareness and environment, the old system has to, in essence, go away, phase out, be destroyed. I don't care whatever you want to call it, but it has to move on its way out for a new system to come in. So, and I think we're seeing part of that process that goes on right now, because it's still going to take place in a normal physical, logistical, real world process. And it's going to go through all of its craziness of the crazy steps that are going on. And I think we're beginning to see that right now. And so I always enjoy, Blanca, how you use the phrase is that, well, you have different people that live on different timelines, and the timeline they focus on depends upon how they experience the world that they're living in. So,
well, and we're definitely seeing that, and we're definitely being invited to see it that way and to remember which lane we're on. When Alan and I talk about timelines, and people say, well, why does it feel like we're all on the same timeline? We say, well, have you ever been on a highway here, for example, in Atlanta? We've got Highway 85 and Highway 75, and they kind of join together. Even if you're going like south on Highway 85 to your destination, another person may be going to another destination, Highway 75 south. It looks like they're going in the same direction because they're driving side by side, but their destination is different. So now if you're going to exit off of 75 to different, you better not miss your exit by paying attention to 85. So we say that sometimes it looks like we're riding the same timeline, but we're not. And you can talk to people. They have different destinations in mind. And that's what we're talking about. And I know you'll address that in a little bit more detail, but yes, that's a good way to picture it.
Well, let me do this before we get into the program and get it into a little more of all that kind of stuff. I do want to make an announcement that, yes, I did send out the newsletter today that we're back to doing the workshops again. And the next workshop will be in Dallas-Fort Worth on January 23rd. And it will be at the same location that we had the last one. That's the Embassy Suites South at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. All the information is on the website, and it's also there in the newsletter that I sent to you. And now let me expand on a comment that I had made in that video and on the newsletter about the opportunity to allow more key people to come into round one of the Dong Exchange. Again, it's very, very important to understand, folks, I have absolutely no control over the release of funds when it is going to happen. I don't have any control about how they are going to release all those funds. All I know is that I have a contract with a very, very large bank that's based out of New Zealand, who then has the contract with the funders. And I have done my homework. I am personal friends with a lady who is personal friends with the man that runs what I call the Texas Processing Office. We have done our work to verify that that money is real. We know where it comes from, how they got it, how they develop it, how long it's been in place. We know why the man that runs that office was selected to do so. That's all confidential information that I can't go into detail, but we understand why these funds are being released, and we are the ones that get to be a part of that process. Now, they are the ones that tell me when there are going to be openings that I can bring people in. What they usually say, they don't have anything to do with how many people or who I bring in. They just say, this is the amount of dong that you can bring in, and you need to have it in by this date. I've mentioned to you, to some of you, see, that I have on my newsletter list over 15,000 names. Now, out of those 15,000 names, for all practical purposes, there's only about 5,000 to 6,000 that I say that are active. They actually open up and read the newsletters that I send out each week. And this has been going on now for about 3 years. And it's important to understand the currency exchange is not about you and me. We are at the bottom of the totem pole of the priority of these funds being released. This is more about what is happening internationally, globally, in the economic and political world. And we are the ones, in essence, that are kind of just getting the tag along, if that's the appropriate term to use. So I don't know when they're going to allow me to add more funds to the process. But this started around a little over 3 years ago. And out of the 15,000 plus people I have on my newsletter list, I only have roughly around 400 people that have been able to be in the round one of the Dong Exchange. And what happens is, when I first started this process, I didn't put any limit on how much dong people could bring in. And there were some people that brought in a lot. I mean, a lot of dong. Well, what happens is periodically there are people that make a decision to say, you know what, I don't believe in this anymore. I've been waiting too long. I just want my money back. Well, that's fine, because I totally, totally, totally let people make their own decisions. I don't try to influence people to be in and out, because here's what I know. I've got around 400, but I can tell you right now there's probably a good 3,000 to 4,000 of you who would love to be in the round one. When that happens, it opens it up so that there is, I guess the best term is, there's a vacancy in that what I had already sent to the processing office, and I get to fill that vacancy with new people. Well, that did happen. And I've been allowing some people who attended the recent workshops to do that. When that happens, I have made a decision, and I've shared this many times. How am I going to, when I basically got room to add 15, 20, maybe 25 people to a list of around 400, when I have 15,000 names on my list, how am I going to decide who gets to do that? Who gets to be a part of that? And so I have always been very consistent now over the years is I turn to the people who attended the most recent workshop. And I felt that was a way that I could be fair, I could be consistent, because I have no idea when this is going to happen. And so that's what I have done. Now, I've had some of you write to me and say, well, that's not fair for me. I've been listening to you for 6 and 7 years, and I can't attend any of your workshops, and why do these new people get to be in before me? Bottom line, folks, tell me how I am supposed to, out of 15,000, select 15 people. You tell me how I'm supposed to do that. See, that's not, because, folks, I can tell you right now, for the people who have been with me for a long time who would love to be in round one, there's probably over 1,000 of you. So that's why I use that as a decision. And here's the other reason why. Folks, it is the people who attend the workshops and the attendance fees that they pay that allow me to continue doing this work. It costs money. I need money to live on, to pay my bills, to pay my expenses. And if it wasn't for the people attending the workshops, folks, this wouldn't be happening. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing this, and you would not have this opportunity to be involved in this. So it honors and respects those who attend, because they are the ones that are providing the financial means for this to happen for all of us. And also, it gives me a way to have to add a very small number of people when I have that opportunity. What I did say in the newsletter I put out today, there is a high probability I'm going to be able to add another maybe 15 to 20 people after this upcoming Dallas workshop. And folks, if you are adamant about wanting to be in the first round, then you might want to make sure that you're there. And that's your choice. I don't try to coerce people one way or the other. I let people choose. The people who are choosing to leave, I don't try to convince them to not leave. I let people make their own choices, because I know there are thousands that would love to be here, and I've only got a few hundred that are in it now. So that's how that has developed and how that has come about, folks. So that's why I'm saying that, and just to let you know up front. And for those of you who would like to be in the first round, and here's what I know. I get an update every month from my broker, the large bank based out of New Zealand, and I get to have my conversations with my friend who talks with the man at the Texas processing office. We have always been very, very cautious about trying to project when the funds would be released. Because there was a point about 3 years ago, we all thought it was going to happen, and there's boom, it got shut down. Well, what we do know is that they have been very, very explicit about this for the last 3 to 4 months. Nothing is going to happen until the issue is settled about who's going to be the next president. None is going to happen until that. That could still stretch on for another 1, 2, 3 weeks. We cannot guarantee this. This is only speculation on my part and others, but we have a strong feeling that we will probably see something maybe late February, early March. That's all I can say. There is no guarantee. We don't know the specifics. We don't have all that information. But there's just, as we talk, those of us that are involved in it, we just have, and based on the information that is given to us, that we think that there's a very high probability. And remember, I've done my homework. I know where this money comes from. I know how they got it. I can tell you at one time, these funds were in HSBC Bank in Hong Kong. Now, it's not there anymore, but it was there. And it was my brokers and also this other lady, they had seen the bank account online that had all the money in it. And I can remember the one man saying that he could hardly count the number of zeros that were in the account. So, and these are off-market bank accounts. They are not a part of the regulatory banking system on the global basis that it's kind of controlled, by what you call the central banking system. So that's the update of what I talked about that. So there may be an incentive for you to want to be a part, making sure that you probably try to attend the workshop coming up in Dallas-Fort Worth on the 23rd, which is 2 weeks from Saturday. And again, all of that information is on my website for the information that's there about when and where and how you register and stuff like that. So that's that. So Blanca, would you like to add anything to that information that I have shared with you?
Well, I think it's great news because I remember going to some of your workshops and there were people who were going to participate in the first round, and then people who were poised to participate in the second round. And they understood how that was going to work. They understood it could be some time before their turn came after a round one. And now the door is opening for some people who've been patiently nurturing that dream to step up to round one. So I think that's wonderful news. Again, with the proviso, as you shared, it's not like you can control when that comes and how that comes, but you're opening an opportunity if people want to participate as they evaluate, do I want to step into round one or do I want to stay in round two? That's up to them. But I think it's a nice opportunity to contemplate.
Let me make a comment also. There's still a lot of people, a lot of you, you know, you read the Dinar recaps and the other stories about that, about the upcoming GCR, global currency reset, the revaluation and stuff like that. Folks, I never, ever use the terms GCR revaluation. This is not a part of that. This is a private currency exchange with private contracts between aggregators like myself, brokers, and the funding sources. I have been very, very clear that anybody who is a part of these funders, they have to be approved by U.S. Treasury. Now, these are the quiet white hats in the U.S. Treasury. This is not a part that's not public information. You're not going to be able to call up or write the U.S. Treasury and say, what is this about this Texas process? Those people won't know anything about it. This is all, it's quiet. It's like off-market banking systems. You know, you call up the Federal Reserve and they don't know what off-market banks are, you know? I mean, so just know that this is all private. And in that private contract, that if you come through me, I am what is called the aggregator, and you basically have to fill out paperwork, and one of it is a limited power of attorney that allows me the legal right to exchange the currency for you. Okay, so, and that's how this process works. So don't write to me about 800 numbers and what they're saying on the Dinar recaps and all those other stuff, because folks, I mean, they've been saying that stuff for years and nothing has happened, and I just don't think any of that happened, because they can never, ever, ever tell you where they're getting the money to pay for what they talk about. So, and what they talk about would cost scores of trillions of dollars, and I don't know who has that kind of money to pay them that to do that. So, okay. Well, Blanca, is there anything else that you would like to share before we go into talking about what's going on in this crazy world right now?
No, but I think it's good to clarify because there's a lot of noise on the website about GCR and revaluation. So it's good to clarify that the opportunity that you've been shepherding is a different thing. And I know you'll probably talk about it a little bit more in your workshop, but it's a good distinction for people to understand, you know, why they can be saying, oh, money's coming tomorrow, and you're not saying anything because they're two different things.
Totally different. Totally, totally different. Folks, also at the workshops, I talk about, so you get the bigger full picture about why is this happening? What's the purpose for all this? Why is this money coming forward? I talk about what we call the cabal, the power and control that they've had over the financial world for our lives and hundreds of years back, and how they use that financial power to basically run and control the world that they want. Now, what has been so important, I've talked about this recently, of this presidential election. Let me come back and say I'm coming partially from close to, maybe I should say over 20 years of practical political experience that I had myself. I don't talk about this a lot, but most of you understand, I am a retired state senator. I spent 12 years in the Washington State Legislature, where I ended as a state senator. I started my political involvement directly in 1988, and I basically ended in my last election in 2010. I lost my election in 2006, and then I turned around and I ran against the same man in 2010. I lost the closest race in the state of Washington. The reality is it was a blessing in disguise, because if I won that, I wouldn't be here today. I'd much rather be here today. I've had enough of politics, but I've had the practical experience in the political world. And I understand how I can kind of read between the lines and what's going on behind the scenes and what's really taking place there. So here's my perspective on the importance between having Donald Trump as president versus Joe Biden as president. It's understanding that Trump ran to be the president of the United States not because he had this passionate desire to be president. It's because of the fact that he has a very deep love for this country, this United States of America that we live in. And he clearly understood and knew that at the very top there was some very, very deep, powerful corruption that was taking place. And he knew that, in essence, at the very beginning, he said he had come into what is called to clean up the swamp. Now, a lot of people have been concerned because it just didn't seem like he did anything over the 4 years that he was there. And yes, you are partially correct, but there was a reason for that. Because you see, the longer he allowed this work to go on, the longer it was that the deep, what you call the cabal or deep state, exposed themselves, and more and more and more of them, they brought themselves out into the open and exposed the deep corruption that they were involved in. And there was a reason for that. Trump is absolutely committed to the restoration of what we call the republic. It's the republic that in its essence is what is called the government of the people and by the people. And most people who truly understand politics will tell you, we don't have that anymore in the United States. We really, truly don't have a republic. We don't have a government that truly represents the people. Now, even President Carter made a comment a couple of years ago saying, we no longer have a democratic republic. We no longer have a democracy. We have what we call an oligarchy. A country that is run and controlled by the corporations at the expense of the people. And it's the corporations. And if you look how Congress makes its votes, it's always amazing how they are so quick to make votes that are favorable to the corporations on their side of the issue at the expense of the people. And they don't do a lot for what you would call the people. And Trump is committed to that. Now, there's another side of the coin of what is called the New World Order. This is an organization of international oligarchs, very powerful, wealthy people that have a lot of power and control over what you call basically the G7 countries or the democracies in the Western world, if you want to call it that. And this New World Order, they have their annual meetings in Davos, Switzerland, and that's basically the billionaire club that goes there, if you want to call it that. And they are committed, absolutely deeply committed, to creating a one world government. Now, here's the issue. If this one world government gets created and the United States brings it into it, what that really means is, folks, we're losing our sense of sovereignty as sovereign individuals in a country where we are free and we can truly become the republic again. You can throw the idea of becoming a republic totally out the window if we become a part of this new world order. Now, the difference is, remember, Donald Trump is committed to the restoration of the republic. And Joe Biden will be a slave to the New World Order. And more than that, here's what really concerns me personally. Most of us know that Biden was already on the stage of early dementia coming into himself. If he ends up being president, I think you might see some quiet efforts by the Democrat controllers to let Biden go, and he becomes replaced by Kamala Harris, the vice president. And folks, she's the one that gives me great concern. Now, I've read some recent reports, and I don't know all of the details, but it's understanding her background and especially the influence in the background of her father. Now, if I remember this correctly, her father was a professor at Stanford University in the arenas of political science. He was an avid, avowed supporter of socialism and communism. He was a man that was adamantly opposed to the corporate structure of America and was a strong supporter of socialistic communism. And he raised his daughter as a university professor, teaching her, telling her this, and endorsing her and espousing this to her. In her early years, before she was a senator from California and before she was the attorney general of the state of California, she was known to be a strong endorser of socialism and communism. Now, she has kept that very quiet all the time that she has basically been a U.S. senator. But here's my opinion. We can be pretty well guaranteed that if she becomes president, she will move us into that direction, and she will move us into lining up with the New World Order, because that is a part of their goal. Their goal is power and control in a socialistic type of environment where they are the ones in power running and controlling the issues over the people, in contrast to the sovereignty of each country and the sovereignty of the individuals. There's a real, real contrast between the philosophies of Donald Trump and the philosophies, I'm going to say, of Kamala Harris, who I think it's easy to say in a four-year term that she would probably end up being president and that Biden wouldn't be there the whole 4 years. That's not hard to see that happening. So here we are. The electors said that Biden had the Electoral College votes. Trump and his team was saying there was a vast fraudulent activity in the elections process in predominantly six states. We saw court after court after court refusing to allow the evidence to be brought forward. And here we are, that today was the day that the electors were to be basically certified. Now, when they started the process, remember, this is a joint meeting between the House and the Senate. And they go state by state. And so they did basically certify the electors of the first two states, Alabama and Alaska. And then when they came to the third state of Arizona, a representative from Arizona stood up and said he objected to the electors from the state of Arizona. And then the procedure is to ask, is there a senator in favor of this objection as well? And then Senator Cruz from Texas said, yes, he was. Then at that point, the House and the Senate dismiss. They return to their own chambers, and then they begin a debate and a discussion about the objection. Well, when that happened is basically when the attacks started happening on the Capitol building. And that was a fiasco. And there was crazy stuff. And the media is reporting left and right of the Trump supporters. But the people in the know, if it's, hello, it wasn't the Trump supporters that created most of the problem. It was Antifa individuals who dressed up and masqueraded as Trump supporters that created most of the problem. And folks, there are photographs that's showing this one specific guy that's wearing the horns, with the long hair, with his bare chest open and tattoos on his body. That man was an Antifa supporter in June in Arizona, and he's the guy that's showing up inside the Capitol building, and the guy right beside him has an Antifa tattoo on his wrist that is being seen. And you notice the mainstream media isn't saying anything about that. It was basically the Antifa folks that were creating this chaos. Now, my understanding is, the latest, just before the program started here, is that the Capitol building has been brought back under control and they are back in the process again. Now, they're going to go through their due process here of however they're going to, I don't know exactly if they were still debating separately in the House or Senate, or if they've come back into a joint session, but it's going to be wait to be seen what's going to come out of this. And there's all kinds of different speculation about will these certain states be challenged and their electors will not be allowed. And if that is the case, then neither the president nor the vice, neither the candidates for president have the 270 electoral college votes. And if that is the case, then in the Constitution, it says the next step is that it goes to Congress to elect the president. But it may come down to, again, that this may end up being challenged and it will finally end up going to the Supreme Court. Now, President Trump has said that he was going to bring out all of the evidence. And I thought they said it was going to come out today, and I haven't seen anything yet. But there's more and more deep evidence coming out of the deep corruption that has been going on within Congress, within the government. And folks, this is on both sides of the aisle, both Republicans and Democrats. This isn't just a one-sided issue about this deep corruption. So we don't know what's going to happen yet. If things follow according to what is normal procedure and the objections are not upheld, it means that Biden's going to have the Electoral College votes to be elected. And it means that he would be sworn in on January 20th. But it's important to understand that that January 20th date is not an etched-in-stone date. That is a date that is established by statute, by law, by Congress. So Congress, therefore, has the ability to extend that date. And the date, based on the Constitution that it can be extended to, is March 4th. In the Constitution, it says that the new president, in essence, has to be inaugurated by the 4th of March. Now, there was a motion by Senator Cruz in the Senate to appoint a bipartisan, multi-jurisdictional committee to have a hearing that will go on for 10 days. There would be five senators, five members from the House of Representatives, and five members from the Supreme Court. They would have 10 days to have public hearings. And then this would give basically Trump's team the opportunity to bring in all of the evidence they say they have on the fraudulent election. Personally, I think that is an excellent decision, and it's an excellent way to solve the issue. Because if a decision is made one way or the another, Biden gets sworn in or the votes get thrown out, and Trump stays in, there's going to be, to me, there's going to be chaos on either side. There's going to be millions of very angry people on either side of that issue. If they have this 10 days of public hearing, everything comes out in the open. The mainstream media cannot manipulate the results of it. And those who say they have the evidence of the election fraud will be able to present their case. And based on what I've been reading and hearing and understanding, they have very, very solid evidence of a fraudulent election. And President Trump has been holding that position adamantly. So that's where we are right now. So I mean, again, until this issue is settled, of what's going on in Congress right now, I think this may extend on for another period of time. I don't think we're going to have a firm decision today. Now, that's where we are. I do want to go in and talk about what happens if Biden becomes president. But before I do that, Blanca, why don't you come back in and why don't you share your thoughts with us about what I've discussed so far?
Well, yes, I think you've analyzed the path forward before the wonderful energetics that took place at the Capitol. Just knowing the swamp, a couple of things, and we'll only see that develop probably more tomorrow. Knowing the swamp, they're probably going to want to blame the happenings, et cetera, on Trump and the false flag that Antifa did about getting into the Capitol and the guy with the Vikings. You know, Alan was at the rally in Dalton, Georgia, and took a lot of pictures, and there were no Viking horns in there. No, and everybody had their shirt on because it was nice and chilly. So, and I think people have seen Trump supporters enough to know the difference. So that's a false flag, but the swamp runs with that. You know, that's their MO. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to try to do something and blame everything on Trump and, you know, try to, you know, let's impeach him or whatever. Lots of noise about that. So that's one thing we may see. The other thing we may see is that, you know, okay, they use this chaos as a distraction to just do what they wanted to do. Hey, it was an emergency situation. We went ahead and certified the election. That's another thing. The other thing is maybe they got scared. And hopefully they're saying, you know, we the people are actually paying attention, and this is a stealing of the election. We're not going to let you sweep that under the rug like you've been used to sweeping all kinds of other things under the rug, even though we made our wishes known. And so then maybe they'll say, hey, we do, like you said, Dave, you know, we do need to present the evidence and let both sides hear it, because, you know, there's a lot of Americans who feel this election was stolen. So hopefully that will prevail, or some path where the evidence can be reviewed. I'm so surprised that, you know, people are shutting their eyes so much from our courts, our Congress, even in the states, and yet the state legislatures are clamoring to recertify the elections, and no one's paying attention. So this is the separation of timelines, right? So we need to keep eyes on of what is happening. And yes, I agree with you. There is a path forward, but we're going to see what the swamp wants to direct. You know, they're trying to manage the timeline in a certain direction, and some other people like Cruz are trying to manage it in another. So energetically, we got to know which path we support. And I think your analysis of what it means for a Biden presidency versus a Trump presidency, I think it's a good analysis. So I agree with it.
Yeah, to me, it's clearly it's an issue between what is called the sovereignty of the individuals versus the power of a new world order that limits our choices and our ability. Now, I want to make some comments. I'll probably send this out in the next couple of days. And it was a recent video that took place maybe 6-7 days ago with a lady by the name of Catherine Austin Fitz. Now, she is an absolute strong lady, a professional. She's very knowledgeable in her field. And she laid out a scenario that was really interesting. She said that she talked about what is called the financial world, the power of, you know, the Federal Reserve, the central banking system, and how there is a strong move, and it's being pushed by the New World Order, to move into what is called a digital world financially, which means they will basically get away of physical currencies, and all money will be handled digitally. Now, what most of us don't realize, most of us already do that. The money we have in our bank accounts, our digital bank accounts, and we use our debit cards, you know, to pay for all kinds of stuff now, and we never really physically handle cash as much as we used to. But here, she says, is what's developing. As we move into a total digital world, the reason why the powerful elite cabal want it, because it allows them to watch and observe everything you are doing with your money, because they can tap into your bank accounts and they can see how you're spending your money and where your money is coming from. And she says there will probably be a very strong movement to bring about in the United States what is starting to happen in China, where China now controls the people and they allow them to do certain things based upon their loyalty to the system, i.e., the Chinese party. And as they are in the favorable status, they get to do more things, travel more, spend more money, etc., stuff like that. And she said there's a very high probability that we can see in a totalitarian system, in a new world order system, that the rules will become very tight about what we can and cannot do. And they're going to look about is what is our loyalty to their system. And those who are not loyal to the system, they will be shut down on how they can spend their money. And this is going to move into what is called a digital transhumanist agenda world, that we, in essence, will all end up having chips placed into our body, and these chips control the bank accounts, and all they have to do is that if they don't like what you're doing, they shut your chip down and you cannot transact. You cannot spend any money anywhere. And this is the potential of that coming. And there are some folks say, you know, that falls in line with, you know, the whole 666 concept in the book of Revelation, where they control your ability to be able to buy and sell. She said there's a high probability that we may be moving into that. And it's what's called the transhumanist agenda, where technology becomes so strong and so powerful that technology begins to totally control our lives. And we have these technologies placed into our bodies so that we become transhumanist, human and artificial intelligence beings combined. Now, I have expressed to you many, 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 many times to go and read the Neruda interviews, which will come out through the Wingmakers process. These interviews are real. Dr. Neruda was a real person. Now, that name was not his real name, but he was a very real person who was an associate to A.R. Borden, who you've heard me talk about. And he had these interviews of his experiences that he had with an angelic group called the Wingmakers, and he felt it was his responsibility to come out and tell the truth because they wanted to do that. And in that, he talks about the development of the transhumanist agenda. Now, the Neruda interviews, go to my website, click on the resources tab, and in there you will find the 5 interviews in PDF format. You can download and you can read those yourselves. That is one of the best sources I have seen that describes what I call the cabal-controlled, powerful, controlled world. The world of the cabal. The world of the power of these controllers of our world, and through their using the power of money to control our world. And he talks about in there what is called the coming of what is called Human 3.0. He said Human 1.0 was basically the Cro-Magnon, the Stone Age, Stone Man era of humanity. Human 2.0 is the Homo sapien era, of which we are now, and there have been many, 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 many upgrades over the thousands of years along that process. We are now moving into Human 3.0 era of humanity. And he said in this, there are going to be 2 versions. One, the transhumanist version. The version of people that allow themselves to be overtaken by technology, and where technology and they in essence become a form of an artificial intelligence being, but they're still human. The other is the term that we makers say that those that follow what is called the sovereign integral, They are sovereign individual beings who are still integrated with the concept of oneness with humanity. These people are your highly conscious, highly spiritual, highly aware people that have the ability to rise above the power and control of the transhumanist agenda world. Now, if you've heard me talk about A.R. Borden and his development of what is called the LERM process. LERM is an acronym, Light Encoded Reality Matrix. This is a process where you have the ability to bring into being an item that has physical properties and it comes out of nowhere, just boom. In essence, it's doing the things that Jesus did with the five loaves and the five fishes when he multiplied it and fed the 5,000 people. And these are physicists and scientists who describe the physical logistical process of how we do that. Borden uses the term manifest production observership. And he says this is how we in our thought, in our consciousness, are constantly producing and manifesting everything that goes on in our lives. And he says we are already doing MPO 24/7 subconsciously and unconsciously. We aren't aware of it, but because we live in a world, and you've heard me talk about it in the past, the world is a holographic illusion. Nothing in the world, in essence, is truly physical and solid. It's quantum energy that is moving at a very rapid speed that gives it the substance and the feeling to our senses of being physical, but it's not. So he says at the quantum level, you have the ability to be able to produce things out of nothing. And he has written a book called Something from Nothing, Something from Nothing. He's written a couple papers that are 40 to 50 pages long about, you know, the LERM process. It's a difficult process to develop. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes very, very focused mental concentration work to be able to do this. But Neruda in his interviews and Borden multiple times in the books he has written, the papers he has written, and the novels he has written says anybody can do this if they're willing to learn how. And it's basically the ability to develop anything you want and bring it into existence, whether it's an apple or it's a physical $1 million of cash. Myself personally, what I see developing is we are moving into the new era of time. And I've talked about this increase in energy that's happening within our planet. We've moved into a place called the photon band, and we're getting this photon light particles that are coming at us. And these photon light particles are shifting and changing the DNA within us. And that has given us the ability to understand and be more aware and more cognizant and more awake to what's happening in the world around us. And it is also increasing the rate at which we can learn how to LERM. Because you see, if the coming world is going to have the two versions, the artificial intelligence transhumanist individual versus the sovereign integral, the sovereign integral, if they can learn how to do the LERM process, doesn't need anything from the artificial intelligence transhumanist world. Because we're not limited on what we can develop and create for ourselves. What this comes down to is learning how to do the things, in essence, that Jesus did. In the Gospels and other areas, it's recorded where Jesus said, "Everything I do, you can do also, and even more." But we look around us and how many people do we see creating all these miracles or doing the LERM? I don't know anybody that can LERM now. But we are moving into the era where this is our time. Now, this won't happen overnight. I think this is a process that's going to develop over a couple of decades. But I want to explain to you what is, to me, is one of the primary reasons for this money coming forward, the currency exchange. Those of us who are involved in the currency exchange, we in essence are the trailblazers of using this money that is going to basically neuter the old cabal corrupt financial system that has run and controlled this world for hundreds, if not thousands of years. It's our money coming forward that is the start of neutering them, where they don't have any power and control over us. Now, they'll still exist. They'll still have their money, but we will have enough that their money can't control us. And there's a second reason why this money is coming forward. It's so that you and I as individuals can move into a state of being financially independent, that we are no longer slaves to our jobs, and we would then have the time to become the true, full, complete, highly conscious and aware, sovereign, integral individual who can learn this learn process and then basically display that to the world, saying, you don't have to be a slave anymore to the old world. You don't have to be a slave to this new world order. There's a high probability that both of those may happen at the same time. And they're going to be happening simultaneously with each other. And it will always come down to the individual's free will choice to say, what kind of a world do I want to live in? Who do I want to be? Now, but here's the other side. The transhumanist world is very seductive because it's just given to you. The sovereign integral learning process takes work. It takes work. I have committed myself, and I'm sharing this at the workshops, that I am already learning the mechanics, the logistics of how LARM works. And one of the most extremely important things is that you have to keep yourself in a high frequency of energy yourself. You have to stay in a high energy thought process. Jesus talked about this a lot, the energy frequency of your thoughts. Are you operating in the frequency of love? Because that is the highest, most powerful frequency of energy that there is. And there are two things that will strip that high frequency from you or will totally move you out of it. Number one is fear. Fear is a very low energy thought system. The other is judgment. Judging others. Because when you start judging others, you move yourself into a low thought energy vibration process, and you totally drop the energy within yourself, and you totally shut off the ability to be highly aware and conscious in doing the learn process. Now, it's important. Here's what I've said. I am committed to learning the learn process. And I have shared in the workshops that when the funds come through after that, we will start doing workshops where we will learn that together. That's where the real freedom is, folks. That's where the real sovereignty is for all of us. That's where we get to know who we truly are. Now, in this presidential election process that's going on right now, if there's anything that I can say that's practical and pragmatic, be in the position, and I've said this many times, of all the drama that's going on around this thing. And there's a ton of drama going on around it. Be the observer. Stay in the high frequency energy of your thoughts. Do not become the participant of judging what is going on. You will lower your frequency energy. You will keep yourself in that lower energy state. And it's in the low energy state that where we have most of our suffering, misery, anxiety, fear, and even sicknesses come from. All sickness and disease is a result of low energy frequency thoughts. Now, we don't go out and consciously do that. Those are old thought patterns that come from past behaviors, unconscious and subconscious past thought processes that we have developed. But we have the opportunity to learn to grow beyond it, to develop beyond it, and to become very highly conscious, very powerful, high energy frequency, loving beings. That is the real essence of our purpose for being here and for what we do. And that is the real true essence of the purpose of the money coming forward, so that you would have the time and the freedom to do that work. So that's why I'm sharing, even if Biden ends up becoming the president, just let it be, folks. Don't enter into the drama world being mad, angry, fearful, judging, bad-mouthing and talking what has happened. Just rise above it, observe it, and just let it be. There is a possibility that may happen. Right now, if there was a due process of law, that is going to happen. The due process has to be shifted for Trump to be able to overtake Biden, who, as at this point in time, has the Electoral College votes to be the next president of the United States. If he becomes president, it is what it is. I won't give him hardly any of my attention, hardly any of my time. I will focus on my work, my responsibility, making sure that I'm delivering high, powerful frequency content to you, continuing with these programs, continuing with the workshops, continuing to be patient to waiting for the funds to be released, releasing that when it comes out, and doing my job of learning the learn process and being able to teach that to you so we can move on as highly sovereign, integrated, highly conscious, loving beings. That's my choice. That's the world where I am going to. And I invite you to come here and join me with that in that world. So that's what I have to say for tonight. So, Blanca, why don't you come on in and share your thoughts, because you've always got such wonderful thoughts and comments to share with us.
Well, as usual, I track very much with your message. You said a lot. Again, there is that dichotomy we're watching right now, and we've got to make sure we understand the world that we want to live in. You'll hear words like the Great Reset, and that is the transhumanist agenda where everything is controlled. These globalists, unfortunately, have a some people say it metaphorically, and some people say it actually. They have a demonic spirit. And all they want to do is dominate and control. That's their whole agenda. And so that's where that is headed, that particular timeline. Then you've got the Great Awakening. So you've got the Great Reset. That's one track, and you've got the Great Awakening. And I think a lot of the things that we're seeing, in a way, is to give one last chance for those people who just don't get it to actually see what's going on. They're like, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? So I think in a way it's a chance for people to start saying, well, what is going on here? And learning more about it, giving them one last chance to wake up and say, no, we don't want to go the transhumanist agenda. No, this Great Reset is hogwash, that sort of thing. And I agree with your counsel to watch your own state. Okay, these are going to be very challenging times, and we're going to be taxed and challenged to maintain what Dave is encouraging us to do, which is a high frequency state of love and appreciation, of hope and forgiveness and understanding, because we want to be on the timeline where we're creating this new world where we can be sovereign and we can share prosperity with all our brothers and sisters on this planet. Now, if you think that sounds like a pipe dream, well, just think harder. Imagine harder and pray harder, because there is an opportunity. You know, they say the darkest time is right before the dawn, and it is correct. These old sayings are there for a reason. So I think there's going to be a showdown. Again, guys, hold your state, because I would not be surprised if the deep state pull the deep state where they do everything in the dark, like they did here in Georgia. You know, everybody go home. We're not counting votes anymore. And then they bring in ballots from under the table where no one's looking, right? So let us not be surprised if something like that emerges for us, and let's not be dejected. There are still other options involved. Trump was trying to do the civil options, you know, using our institutions, our courts, and our Congress, and if they just show themselves to be so steeped in swampness that they cannot do the right and fair thing, well, that's something else that may wake up some more people. And there are options to address that type of treachery, and we'll see if that's going to be invoked or not. But I agree with you, Dave, no matter what the outcome, let's not be sucked into a vibration of hate, despair, hopelessness. That's not the vibration or the frequency that's going to attract the world that we want to live in.
Yep, that's very good. So, well, we've been going just about an hour for the program tonight. Blanca, if you're ready, I'm ready to go over to anybody who would like to call in and ask questions or make some comments. And folks, that phone number, if you would like to call in, the number is 515-605-9356. Again, that's 605-9356. And then touch one on your touchtone phone, and that lets us know that you would like to come in and join us here. So are we ready? I see we have two people that have, you know, said yes, but I think that first one, he came in at the very, very beginning. So I don't know if he's actually there or not, but are we ready to go with that?
Yes, I think so. Yes, and if anyone has any questions or comments, they're invited to call in too.
Yeah, so I'll go to the first person on the list. That he's from area code 660. Let's just bring him in. Area code 660, you are here on the air. Did you have a comment or a question tonight? Well, I think 660 was just there and he didn't have any comments because he was one of the first ones to come on the air, and he just pressed his button. That's it. But Blanca is then working on the next person. That's in area code 918. And I think I am just ready to go right into that person. Area code 918. This is our Dave here on the air. Do you have a question?
Yeah, it didn't work out. It was fine, but
I don't think they did. They probably just accidentally touched their phone, and they got all kinds of noise in the background. So we'll let that person go because they weren't answering their phone. But I didn't see anybody else that had any wanted to call in with any comments or questions. Blanca, did you see
anybody? No, it doesn't look like. No, I don't.
Yes. So, well, are we about ready then to call it a night?
I think it's time to call it a night. And just again, I appreciate you encouraging everyone to hold their states because it's going to get wilder.
I think it's going to get wilder and crazier.
Yeah.
And we may see things even get a little more chaotic with some of the protests and stuff like that. So who knows what's going to happen. But we just did have a person from area code 204 that just came in, so we'll take that. Area code 204, this is Dave here. What's your name and what's your comment or question?
Yeah, hello. My name is Merv, and I came in late and I missed a good part of it, but is there anything for the Canadian scene that we should be maybe aware of?
I'm not certain what you mean by anything of the Canadians, because what I do here is international. I don't, you know, draw things by specific country borders. Tell me, expound on your question a little bit more about what it is you're looking about for, am I doing things differently with Canada than here in the United States?
No, well, I know I'm not. I missed you, but I'm with another group who know you, apparently, are well aware of you, and I was wondering if what's happening, what's Canadians that would like to exchange, you know.
I have asked
how do we do it?
Well, I don't know who you're talking about, what other group, and I think it's best if we don't mention their names here on the air. And yes, there are other groups that are out there. I would, again, always just make sure that you know who your broker is, who your buyer is, where they're getting the money to fund you and pay for you, because there's a whole lot of them out there that talk, but they're not legitimate. And, and because if the money comes in through me, I can send that to anybody around the world through various means to move funds. It's a country different. So,
Right.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. Okay. Good. Bye.
All right. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks. And folks, for all of you wonderful folks that are from up there in the Northland and Canada, yes, I will be back into Toronto to do a workshop probably in late spring or summer. But Toronto was on my list, again, to come back. I always enjoyed the last time I was there. Great, great, wonderful group of people that are there up in Canada. So, okay. Well, Blanca, it looks like we had – did we have anybody else? No, we didn't. So are we ready to call it a night?
I think so, Dave, yes.
Okay. Well, folks, thank you then very much for joining us tonight here on Project Connections, and then we will see you again next week. Bye-bye.